Lindell TV is pleased to present The Tamara Scott Show. Tamara has served as the state director for one of America's largest pro-life, pro-family public policy organizations. In 2007, Tamara was named one of America's top 10 most influential kingmakers by the Religion News Association. Tamara has spent years proclaiming and defending the values of a Christian worldview that is the foundation of our constitutional republic. And now, here is your host, Tamara Scott.
Hey everybody, happy Monday. It is 10-23-23, October 23rd, 2023. Thank you for joining us on the Tamara Scott Show. Help you understand, break it down, and we tell you, we'll give you the information, you test it out, weigh it out, pray it out with the Word of God, pray for discernment, and you decide what you believe. We don't try to tell you what to believe, we just bring you information and perspectives. We're honored to be able to do that here on the Lindell Network and the Worldview Weekend Network. You can catch our show at noon every day, Central Time, WVWTV.com, WVWTV.com. Also on the LindellTV.com network, but I think they're changing their schedule around, and I'm not exactly sure. I've heard 9, I've heard 10. So I think they're just going through some changes, and I'm hearing from some of you the frustration of not being able to find our archives easily, and I'm so pleased and honored that you want them. We're working on it. Because our guests are so incredible. Our guests are phenomenal and good information. And so as Brandon said this weekend at the Worldview Weekend Conference, our guests, we get good information. We can trust the guests we get. We may not always agree. Differing opinions, differing thoughts. You have information that you can weigh out, pray out for yourself then. All right, so I mentioned Worldview Weekend. It was a great time. Traveling can wear me out, right? But it was one of those refreshing weekends. So good to be with so many of you. So good to just see many of you, to hear your names, to see who you are, to hug you. And some of you are just so quick to pray over us too and just bless us in the work that we do. It's encouraging. It was just refreshing. I am sure that Brandon House may not be feeling refreshed. It was a lot of work. I hope he's getting a breather and some time to rest and relax. One of the other good highlights, and I wish I would have gotten a picture, was getting to meet some of the production crew, because when we do these shows, they see me, but I don't get to see them. And so I got to meet Kate. A phenomenal job. And so I just so appreciate the team that Brandon has at Worldview Weekend and producing both that and the LindellTV.com network. So I just am so honored and was just so pleased to get to meet Caleb. Of course, Logan was there. Landon was there. Beautiful Melissa was there, Brandon's wife. And so it was just a great, great weekend. As well, the speakers are always phenomenal. Of course, Alex Newman. You won't find a bigger cheerleader for Alex Newman and the work that he, you can hear his program on the this network in Lindell as well, the Sentinel. Peter McCullough was there. John Mills. I don't know John Mills, and I got to meet him, so I was excited. His book is right here. I'm looking forward to reading it. He kindly gave me a copy. The Nation Will Follow, Firsthand Experiences Fighting the Deep State, Colonel Retired John Mills. So I'm looking forward to maybe having him on the show, learning a little bit more about that. So just great information you don't get everywhere else. But Worldview Weekend, Brandon's been doing it at least 30 years at least. So honored to be there. Oh, Caleb, I think I did text you a couple photos of some of the folks just at the table. This was our table. We had some of the Bella Grace product there so people could get hands-on and just kind of see it. And they were so receptive, and I was so glad I brought it. We also had some of the books we have from the Friday show, the Freedom Friday show, the book that we have on letters from our prisoners. So just thank you so much. Look at that crowd. And then good day. Exciting. So thank you to everybody who came to Worldview Weekend. Thank you to all the nice comments and just the encouragement. Just so appreciate it. All right. Join us Oh, I didn't thank our sponsors. I'm back in studio. It feels so good to be back in studio. And I think it feels good too, because I hope to be here for a while, right? I traveled so much in September, honored to go everywhere I went, honored that I could feel the Lord was with me when I went and the work was accomplished. And sometimes even if you're not successful in your work, you know that you still had to do it. In this case, we were successful, and I was so glad to be part of the trips everywhere we went. But looking forward to being in studio with you now. All right, so very quickly, we want to say thank you to Lindell TV. Lindell TV, and you can use that promo code Tamara at my store, My Coffee, My Pillow. You can save up to 80%, the beautiful fall graphic there on your screen. You can see, depending on what item it is you're going to order, I would highly recommend, if you don't have them, some of the comfy slippers. Now, get the half size. If you're in between sizes, get larger, because it will make a difference. That's what they suggest, and I would follow their recommendations. As well, you saw the commercial about the pillow, the 2.0 that's on sale for their anniversary. Great products. Go on to My Pillow, My Store, My Coffee. Look around. Depending on the product that you're wanting, you can save up to 80% off using the promo code Tamara. We're honored by that. It helps fund this network, get truth across the globe, helps this show, and I'm honored by all of you. Thank you so much to those of you who use the promo code Tamara. Truly appreciate it. As well, we have the Bella Grace. Bella Grace, I'm looking for my little packet in here in the studio. Bella Grace is a great, there you go. There's the graphic on your screen. You can save 10% when you use that QR code if you just want to try the product. You can also go to Tamara, T-A-M-A-R-A dot BellaGraceGlobal.com. Tamara, T-A-M-A-R-A dot BellaGraceGlobal.com. So glad that so many of you got to try it. As you know, the Elixir, which is the collagen, astaxanthin, and cat's claw ingredients, got an award for cognitive function in 2022, an award for cognitive function in 2022, and in 2023 got an award for sports, in the sports arena, for active ingredients, format, and nutrition. So for being a new product, already getting recognition. And with the Elixir, this little Elixir, I love it, because you just rip it, sip it, and flip it in the trash, and you're done just that quickly. And so you don't have to worry about mixing, measuring powders, warming it up in the microwave and hoping it dissolves. Just flip it in the trash and you're done. I laugh. My grandkids have their juice packets. This is Grandma's on the go packet. I keep it in the car. I keep it in the studio. I keep it at the house, wherever I may be. When I remember I need it, then I take it. And I do 2 packets a day. You can do. When you find, if you go on and subscribe under that Tamara.BellaGraceGlobal.com, then you get a better price, better than the retail. But if you want a better price yet, you can sign up as a subscription. And then, when you find 3 friends to subscribe underneath you, you get your product for free. You just pay for the shipping. 3 friends to subscribe underneath you, you pay for nothing but shipping. The product is free. It's a great deal. Some of you may want a better deal yet. You can sign up as an ambassador or an influencer. If you've got a circle of friends, a network where you have some influence with some folks, men or women, this is a great product for both. You can sign up, and if they sign up underneath you, then you get some finance, food, or to help bless a ministry or a cause, however you want to use that. So again, that's with this Elixir. As well, we now have the skincare, and I'm so glad so many of you got to see the skincare. I would have brought more. We actually pretty much sold out. I had one I was holding, and that's okay, because I brought it back home with me. I was not sure I wanted to take my skincare systems to sell, because I got a great deal on them. That skincare system is the 3 parts, the cleanser, the serum, and the plumping moisturizer. And I never thought I'd be part of this. I never thought I'd be promoting anything like this. I don't know if it's going to be better or worse for me, before and after pictures. I don't care. I like the way my skin, and I like the way my skin feels after I use it. All right, jumping ahead, we have an event coming up in Iowa. This I'm not part of this event, but it is the Informed Choice. They've been great in getting information out years past. The fifth annual conference, Informed Conference, is this Saturday, the 28th. Doors open at 8 a.m. Conference begins at 8:45 a.m. This is Central Time. It's in Des Moines. Plan to conclude about 6 p.m. So 8:45 to 6 p.m. and you're done. It's at the Airport Holiday Inn or Airport Conference Center. On to the Informed Choice website, just do a search and you'll find the links to register for their conference. So again, I don't get any kickback for that. I'm just giving that information to you because in the years past, they've gotten great information to Iowans. And certainly with COVID, but even before COVID, they were very good at informing parents and grandparents to all the dangerous ingredients and the adverse reactions vaccines that are now being suggested, if not forced upon our children. A very, very dangerous idea compared to what we used to do. So there you have the information on the screen for you if you want to go. Joining me now is Dr. Lee Merritt. Dr. Lee Merritt, the medical rebel. You can find her. Help me out, Dr. Lee Merritt. Are you on Substack?
No, I got demonetized from Substack.
Oh, how dare I bring it up?
That's why you know you're over the target. You know, and I'm just going to point out, what did I get demonetized for? It was not talking about viruses or genetics. It was talking about electromagnetic.
One of our viewers, delightful woman. She knows exactly who she is. Beautiful smile. And so this packet, when we were talking about this packet, she did something I'd never seen before. She put it up to herself. There are frequencies and whether this would be good for me or not. And she could tell immediately whether this would be good for her. And she did buy it. I'm pleased to tell you, she bought a month's supply. Had you talk about.
They could do that. I mean, I don't have that experience, but then again, some of us don't see the world the way other people do. I mean, you know, look, I always say, and David Icke, who's kind of a favorite of mine, he says this all the time. He says, think about the fact that we only see in British, he says, not 3% of the visible spectrum or something like that. Well, you know, your cat sees more than you do. Your dog sees more than you do. They have they can see. Why don't we believe that some people have a different frequency than we do? I mean, they can sense frequencies in a better or different way, just like some people are colorblind. Well, some people are not. And we don't know all the variations of that, I don't think, really, because it's so, you know, you can't get inside other people's head very well. I think we're going to find, you know, the problem is the Russians and the Germans have looked at frequency medicine for a very long time. And for some reason, we haven't overtly said anything about it. Have we been studying it? Oh, sure we have. And
is there no money if we can get people to live healthier by frequency?
No, I don't think there are certain things that the Uberlords don't want us to know about.
Okay.
Because they can silently control us. And I think it's been going on for a very long time. I just think we're waking up to the problem. And it's not just about the implementation of 5G. This has been, anybody can go to my medicalrebel.com, and I have a thing about the 1918 pandemic. In the 1918 pandemic, the first thing that happened is they got this kind of lung problem. And nobody died till they got the vaccines. But the lung problem started because they to be telegram operators, and they knew in the 1800s there was a disease called telegrapher's disease, and it was from people that were not used to being in an electromagnetic field suddenly were underneath these telegraph lines, and they got sick. They got this kind of nervousness and this light cough and everything, and they took a long twist in the copper telegram wire. It went away, or at least it got much better. Now, I had the experience, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago, that said, oh, we're all getting COVID, or I'm getting COVID again. And I, you know, after about the 10th person, I said, no, wait a minute, something's going on. And then I realized I had a little cough, and it was right around the injection that happened. So when apparently, you know, we are creatures, again, we are creatures of light. Everything is pure energy in different forms. How we become this form, we can argue about, but we're, you know, if you believe modern physics, everything is energy. Problem is that we, and I actually have a nice video about how your body makes energy to use from food. It takes what is, you know, and it runs it through this electromagnetic gradient. It's called, you know, the electron transport chain in your mitochondria. And you've got little turbines. It runs just like Grand Coulee Dam, only instead of water coming down to turn the turbines, you've got how it works. That we know that there's like a, you know, four or five clearly defined things that electromagnetic fields do to us. We're just not paying attention. And we have to, because that's damaging us every day. Now, it doesn't mean we need to go and be a troglodyte and go back. And I'm sure we can. It's just that by lying to us about it, it tells us why, you know, this isn't just about money, but there, money's a part of it, but there's
so much we don't know. There's just so much we haven't studied that maybe other cultures have. I'm guessing maybe some of the indigenous or native tribes have studied it more. We don't venture into it. I think we can do so without some ridicule or criticism. But I thought when she did that, I mean, delightful, beautiful individual. The rest of us were that in tune with ourselves rather than listening to what the crowd says, we'd all be a little bit better off, right? Okay, yeah. So did you see the story at Iowa? The show is global, but we talk about events that have impact on our did you see the article I sent just right before the show?
Oh no, I didn't have a chance to look at that. What's okay. The story?
So, all right. So, Caleb, there is a video. I don't think we need to show probably I don't think there's a lot of language. I don't think, other than hearing kids wrestle around, is the background. But if you want to go ahead and play the video in the background, an Ames, and look at that school. It's a beautiful school. Student was left unconscious after merciless beating at Ames High School in second year without the SROs, and those are the security resource officers. There's the video right there. Let's go ahead and play it. All right, let's go ahead and, yeah, we can talk over it if you want to play it in the background, Caleb. It sounds like the young student sitting there. I mean, they egged him on is what we're told. They egged him on for quite some time. And he was sitting down. They were certainly the ones talking to him. They didn't need to be at his table. And I'm told through this article from the Iowa Standard, so this isn't one of our mainstream media outlets. I've been out of town, so I don't know if they covered it or not. But here's the good news about having private media sources who are not beholden to folks, or if they are a different group of folks in the mainstream media. But he said the student had an IEP, an individual education program, that he had been teased by these kids in middle school and beyond, and that they egged him on until he said this comment. Now, of course, others are saying they didn't have to egg him on and coerce him into saying it. I don't know. I don't care, Dr. Merritt. I don't care what they not said either. To him. I don't care what he said back, tacky as it was. Punishment may come later, but this is not the way we handle things. This is uncivilized. This is your thoughts on it.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. The point is, it never justifies being beaten up. And where were all stood by in their cell phone pictures? I mean, what the heck? You know, I mean, that's not the right response. And first of all, this is a mob action. Hit him. And we need to wake up and realize that this is being created. I mean, that's why I have this quote up by David Icke. You're not playing the game. The game is playing you. Whether we're talking about Hamas and Israel, or we're talking about straight, or I don't care who, what the denomination is, what the separation is. This is a game that's being played on you to make us get mad at each other, at damage each other, so that our overlords can control us. It's really as simple as that. The provable that the world is financially, if nothing else, is controlled by a very small number of people. And they can't do that if we were all united. You know, they've demoralized, they've done all these things. It's been a long-term moral and psychologic attack on our civilization. And that's what it is. This is what we saw is the result of a civilizational attack. And if we don't recognize that and don't start taking back our world, we're in real trouble. It's don't worry about the Russians. Don't worry about the Chinese. Let's worry about each other. Let's worry about everybody in this country and how they behave. And let's decide how we're going to respond, because if the response is to do nothing, this will get worse. And getting worse in my lifetime. We never saw that. I mean, did we have fights in high school? Sure. We had people that would get into a fight and it would be, you know, a couple people. They'd let them get a few slugs in and then their friends would pull them off. But this is a different level of violence. And this is the thing, you know, remember they had the knockdown gangs in New York that slugged him real hard in the back of the head. That's the kind of thing that we never saw in the 1950s and 60s. And they think the 60s was a crazy time. It's nothing compared to
said we used to take our hunting rifles, our shotguns, I guess shotguns, to school with us every day. They were in our trucks.
Oh, I remember
they were
that.
Back window. Term I'm using, but we were taught how to treat people. That's the difference. And Dr. Alveda King has said it time and again, you cannot, no matter how many laws you write, hate crimes or whatever, you cannot write a law that changes hatred in the heart. That's something we have to teach, respect for each other. If you remove the Bible from school, I fear how much time and money it will take to punish crime when it would take so little to prevent it. And now we're seeing it.
Exactly right. And I remember, well, I was talking to Dr. Peter Hotze, who's he's on Brighton. He's a physician with a holistic practice. Sacrifice or of child sacrifice in this country. And his comment was, punish the United States, or doesn't punish the United States, then he owes Babylon an apology, or Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. That's exactly right. This is moral rot. And the other thing I'm going to say about that video is, why is that kid in public school? If he's had problems before, if he's been bullied for a long time, why is he in public school? You know, at some point, people tell they come up to me and they're worried about the vaccination program. They're saying, I don't want to send, how do I deal with the public? Thought they were unsafe at the time. I did it because I thought it was a waste of time for education. They got very poor education. That was what I was worried about. And well, now it's much more. Right.
If we would have a school day, by the time they change classes, transfer, whatever other things that go on, announcements, standing in lines, lunch, when you reduce all that time, as well. So, I will say, I don't know the situation here, but I know parents, once you start an IEP program, the individual education program, it's very hard to get out from what I with DHS, CPS, if they attempt to take their kids out. I hear good homeschooling families feel like they have to send their kids to the public school. If there's a special other program outside, because once you go into that penitentiary setting, I've said it for years, Dr. Merritt, they are teaching your children how to be institutionalized. Back in the 90s, when we pulled our kids out, they were putting fences around the school. You had to go in to be even allowed in. And I volunteered in the classrooms. I was somewhere pretty much every day in four buildings with having four kids there at one point. You had to check in. And so the teacher had warning before anybody came back, and I don't think they even let you in that way now. There's a sign that says when you go to pull up your child, stay in your vehicle. You're not allowed to see who the teachers are. You're not allowed to know who the associates are, who the janitors are. You don't know what adults are having influence with your kids at the school. I just wouldn't have my kids there. I would not have my kids there. I would find a way somehow to have my kids out of that school. And you mentioned not just a child that's been bullied, but why the heck are those troublemakers still in that school? Don't you wonder, wasn't it Florida, the Parkland shooting, where that victim, because he'd gone to the counseling, he'd been through the arrest, he'd been through programs, and they all missed it. They all missed it and kept, because of some program, they didn't want to lay a troublemaker and kept putting him back in the school.
Yeah, it's warehousing children. And unfortunately, when you do that, you get children that grew up with the morals of being warehoused. I mean, and they want us to get children surgeon, you had the money, you could take the time off, you could do whatever. Well, no, I was the lowest paid spinal surgeon in America. I took a couple years off. I took 5 years off actually over periods of time altogether to raise my kids, you know? And so I was paid zero or a little bit more. Sometimes I work part time, but really the problem here is that we're not taking responsibility for the kids when they're little. And then when they're older, this is like wild animals. You can't change somebody at age 15 that you haven't been paying attention to all those years they were in kindergarten. And then they want to get them in preschool. I mean, this is part, by the way, this is part of their written agenda from the time of Adam Weishaupt and the Illuminati in 1776. They want to institutionalize your children and they want to raise their children. Remember, it takes a village. Well, it only takes a village to raise a child if you want that child programmed to what the village leaders want. And that's where we're going with all this. And I would say it'd be interesting to note, I'd have to look this up, but if the Iowa Department of Public Health is a corporation registered on Dun & Bradstreet, and I believe Child Protective is underneath that. Am I wrong there? I think they're part of that. In any case, I would be surprised if you don't find out that Child Protective Services in most states are technically a corporation. Now, a corporation is there for profit. What profit are they going to be making? If that's true, that's something we should ask people to research. I think it's the problem is finding the names under which they incorporate. But what we're finding out more and more is this whole Babylonian system of legal and monetary existence that we're stuck in has been because of the corporatization of America. It's not God's law. It's not the Constitution. It's corporate game playing. And once you realize that, then you can kind of take a step outside. This is what I call the Truman Show. We are stuck in the Truman Show. And the Truman Show, the reason, did you see that movie? The Truman Show with the, you have it?
I did not.
Oh, you need to, whatever. I'm going to.
Rare that I will see a movie. So I know,
but this one has a point. This really has a point. So Truman is, Jim Carrey, but Truman was involuntarily part of a reality TV show. He was literally born into it. His mother sold him out to this reality TV show. Now that already is a point there. And the second thing is that he's in it for about 30 years before he realizes something's wrong. And why could that happen? Because even though he's on a big set, he's on a big sound set, sound stage, he doesn't realize it because it's always all internally consistent. So we're looking at our world and our banking and our medical system, our science that we're learning. You know, all the science I was taught, we all believed it. It made like a lot of sense because it was internally consistent until you take a step back and say, wait a minute, the world can't work that way. And in this situation, we're sitting in a world that we assume, like I assumed the laws about whatever, you know, I assumed, for example, here's one that I looked up. I assumed I needed a DEA license. Because to prescribe medication, you know, scheduled drugs, because I was told by my hospital administrators and teachers I did. Okay, but that's not true. When you actually see the law, you only need it for dispensing. If you're going to create a business, because this is corporate life that they've given us. If you're in it, you know, it's the same thing. I defy anybody, and you can look at my state. I haven't looked at all states, but I've heard this in all states, and I looked at my state of Iowa. Do I need a driver's license? Now, I'm not saying I'm not going to get one, maybe, yet. But the point is, do you actually need one? In other words, do you not have a God-given right to move from point A to point B and to use whatever conveyance you want? Okay, the issue is, it turns out the reason that they call these things, they talk about, you only need it for commercial travel. In other words, if you're conducting business, if you're using your car for business, you need to be licensed. It needs to be licensed in your state. But I will defy you to find a license that's required for just driving for pleasure from point A to point B. You can look that up. I looked in Iowa. I couldn't find one.
So you see, you had to have your license plate on your car or a tag that says in transit. And we've been discussing how we're not seeing that anymore. Cars have no ID on them whatsoever. Now, I frankly like having to have a license plate so that if there's an accident or if someone's done something, you have some way to identify someone. And I thought it was maybe because you were on the roads that were tax funded. If you're going to drive, like we have inalienable rights.
No.
Driving isn't listed as one of them, though it would be a freedom or a liberty issue. But I thought it was maybe because people were on the tax-funded roads that we had to have these systems. So you're saying not the case?
No, that's not the case. The case is it's a scam. It's all, you know, in other words, it's about making us believe the world is a certain way that it really isn't. Again, it's like you paint a picture, it looks right, but it's just not true. Because my inalienable right, if you pave all the roads because you've taken tax dollars to do it, it doesn't mean I can't travel. With that theory, you would have taken away my right to travel if I don't play your game and buy this license. In other words, if I'm a child of God on the list, pay us to travel. No.
I thought driver's licenses were considered privileges, not a right.
They want you to believe that, but your right, the driver's license is not a right. But your travel is a right. In other words, otherwise you're in a prison. Otherwise, we're in an open air prison, which we in a way are, because they've convinced us that we need to go to them like marriage licenses. Okay, how did my great grand the church? They got married. They wrote it in the Bible, the family Bible. They proclaimed before God, their friends, their family, that they were going to pledge to each other, and they were married. For my great grandparents in the 1860s, but I'm sure that's the way it was because there was no courthouse. Who would they have gotten a license from? Okay. And licenses, by the way, were popularized to prevent blacks from marrying whites. Licenses are always discriminatory because when you can license people, you can decide not to license people.
You can say, right. I'm thinking, you know, and honestly, we had less divorce when people actually didn't go through the state, when they actually did it, as you're saying, through a family or a pastor, however.
Right.
So, and we do know that
licensing
and regulatory, usually in what we're seeing now, is to stop the competition, the smaller independent, and it always pays other licensing.
Well, I mean, ask yourself what it means to be married. Does it really mean, does marriage really mean, show me somewhere, you're a biblical person, you read the Bible a lot more than I do. Tell me where it says, in order to that we can be married. No, it doesn't. It's between you and God, right? Ultimately. So there's no way that has to be what it is about. What marriage licenses are about entitlements. So I can get my husband's Social Security if he dies, or he can get mine. But that's the only thing, because quite frankly, in fact, this came out, in my opinion, this is what came out during the issue about gay marriage in our state, right? And when I was a libertarian candidate for governor, and I know that people didn't like this, but I went around speaking the truth. I tried. And I said, look, and same thing I just said to you, do you think marriage is really about you going to the courthouse and getting a piece of paper that they let you get married? Or is it that God oversees your marriage? And so what's it really about? Well, there was no place that you couldn't, even before all this gay marriage licensing, there was no place that a gay couple couldn't actually get married by God. If they got a minister and they got, you know, I'm not trying to make a religious point here. I'm just saying that they could have a ceremony in front of their friends, their family, you know, that blah, blah, blah. That was not restricted. What was restricted is they couldn't get people's Social Security. They couldn't get their military benefits. This is all about benefits. And
And there's more to that because you're right. And I'm not condoning gay marriage, and I'm not condoning that the church should condone gay marriage. I'm not saying anything like that. Looking at it from the reason they went after it, it was for benefits, life insurance benefits, Social Security benefits. And to be honest with you, if you are a widowed individual and you have any type of income that you've accrued or sexual company, couples who come together and have their own assets and children and families, it is every bit of a mess. And so for that, there are legal documents in which you can move around.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. You don't even need it for life insurance, because life insurance, I can designate you to be my beneficiary if I want to. It has nothing to do with whom you're married to. So again, my point at the question we should be asking, is why anybody goes to the state for permission to get married? Why do we have licenses to begin with? And once you answer that question, then you're going to start. And why not why we're living in Babylon? Okay. That's my point, is that they've made things that are artificial. They want to make it real. It's not real.
absolutely one of the reasons I love talking with Dr. Lee Merritt. I don't care what bunny trail we head down. She's got good information and always an interesting perspective to look back on. We were bringing up All right. So Dr. Lee Merritt, tell our folks, where can they find you? Where's the best way to the medical rebel?
Well, I'm on two things. I'm on freedom.themedicalrebel.com.
Okay. One of the things we were going to talk about today was war and propaganda. And of course, I thank you for going through this local event that took place on Friday. A viewer sent it to me right before the show, and that's a pretty big deal to me. A student having to be taken by ambulance, unconscious to a local hospital. This is just frightening. And so the knowledge, and she certainly does. I was the poster child for any dummy could do it. I was that one who learned with my children everything I didn't pick up in generations at once. It was just a great experience for our family.
And if I could add something to that, is the thing I learned, it's really to teach your children to learn.
Yes.
You know, the best thing I ever did, and I'll look back and I'll say, it wasn't learning to be a spinal surgeon. It was teaching my kids how to read. Once they knew how to read and they knew how to search for information, they were on their own. I mean, they learned so much. It wasn't me looking over their shoulder. It was them teaching themselves. And it's funny, when my older one, who's now, he himself is a surgeon, he went to junior high to be in the band. He went to there, and one of the teachers literally said this to me. They said, we went to parent teacher night. He said, this was a study hall. He says, your son did something I've never. What did he do? You know, and he goes, we had a little assignment to do, writing assignment in study hall in the homeroom. And he just spontaneously got up, went over the dictionary, looked something up, and went back to his seat and used it. And I said, wait a minute, what are you saying to me? No student has ever done that in your class. But that's the way it's gotten, is that nobody does anything on their own initiative because they're being spoon-fed. So somewhere we make sure everybody has exactly the same amount of this, and and that's how we're going to teach you to eat the bugs. You know, I'm going to teach you, this is how you think, this is how you move, this is how you do. So that's how we break out of this. Don't send your kid to public school.
Do not send him to public school if you can at all help it. And I said earlier, you're teaching institutionalized, and I can't say it probably articulately and succinctly enough, but that fence around, you're no longer allowed inside without permission, unless your child's going to be in a mental hospital or facility, an institution, a prison or military type complex. This is what you're teaching kindergarten on up.
And Alex, you mentioned Alex Newman. He's an expert on this. He's part of a program that, you know, I think it's the name of his program is, but he's part of that homeschooling movement, and he speaks on this a lot. And you don't have to personally be the teacher if you don't try it, because I think you'll find out that, like you said, we all learn from our kids too. And but if you know, if you can't do it, if you're struggling to make ends meet and you need help, there are now church groups and all sorts of people that are getting together, because what better thing can you community than to help those kids get a non state run education.
I think every church should look at it. And now there's a program, Dran Reese comes on the show and talks about it. Every church out there ought to have a school. You've got, you likely have volunteers, people who are in fields who could teach various classes. Every school, and I mean this wholeheartedly, every church ought to be considering having a school in their building for their congregational members. And then if you have the resources, open it up to your community around you. But every church should consider that, in my opinion. All right, so Dr. Lee Merritt, I'm looking at the clock. We've got, what do we have? a couple minutes left, 10 minutes left to talk about whatever you wanted to talk about. That's all you got left. I'm so sorry, but I appreciate you going down these.
Oh, I don't care. What do you want? I was just making the point to you off camera that you know, I think we have to realize, again, what's their big goal? Order of chaos. Order out of chaos. They want to create chaos. You can tell who the bad guys are. They're the people that are running around stirring up chaos. You know, that's not the language I wanted to use, but they're stirring up things. You know what I mean? And so they want us to ask them, please give us a one world government. Please give us a one world this, a one world language, a one world religion, so it won't be so confusing for us. So to get there, they've had us be confused about everything, right? Well, and I think we're seeing this really in, there was some of it, and I don't know how much of it in Ukraine, but I'm just looking at Ukraine. Ukraine's a little bit different. To me, that was kind of a death by cop issue. The Ukrainians who were pushed by the real bad guys, whoever they might be behind the scenes, they were pushed into the guns of the Russians, kind of like as a depopulation thing, I think, in order to clear the land. They were de-Slavifying Ukraine, and we can argue what the point of that is, but the Russian men, I mean, the Ukrainian men are basically non-present now. They've cleared them out, and they're resettling. But anyway, what's happening is now we've got this thing in Gaza and Palestine and Israel, and every time you turn around, you know, it was the 40 babies being beheaded, and then that got walked back, and then it was the the next thing? Oh, the 500 dead in a Gaza hospital, that got walked back. That didn't appear to be what it is, and we. Suspicious. So there's a certain amount of me that wants to say, is this just a CGI war? What is really happening over there? Not questioning that there are some people dying, but some of this isn't happening on the ground the way they're saying. One of the things that bothers me, and I'm just asking this question. When you look at war scenes around the world that are in color, that are not black, old black and white World War II, but I mean current war scenes, whether it's Vietnam, whether it's Ukraine, whether it's, you know, any place you want to say that there were bombs and there were all these things going off. It's really quite, it's an issue of colors. You know, in other words, they're all, it's like all sorts of things, like the buildings are brown and there's, you know, clothing, and there's things that are all multicolored around. What I've noticed in Gaza, which is really odd, it's like before, they show you before and after pictures, before it has multicolors, and then now it's all gray. Have you noticed that? It's just weird. It's like the whole set is gray. So that more it was not what they're saying. You know, this is not from fires. It's not what they're talking about. There's controlled demolition, and thermite may play a role there, but it's micronized, just it's like very small particle dust. Just what Gaza looks like right now. I mean, what are we really looking at? And I would say it's just hard to know because we're not there, and neither are the reporters. This is the other part of this being a you know, kind of a manipulated CGI war. We know now that people are doing green screens and pretending to be in places and reporting things. But we also know a lot of these reports are just them speaking. They're not even there. They don't make a pretense. They're in a studio. In Iraq, we had people on the site. We always had people on the site in World War II. And even in World War II, now that we know, looking back, we know that things were manipulated. Actual thing that we saw it later. They did it, but then they restaged it to make it photographically acceptable. So I don't know. It's, I think this is a big issue, and that's why I would say, don't be quick. I'm not choosing a side on Hamas, and I'm not choosing a side on Israel, and I'm not choosing a side on a lot of things. I'm choosing a side to support the individuals who are being oppressed by their own governments, and that's most right. of the world.
That I can agree with you on. I don't know that I ever would side with Hamas from what I've seen from them and heard from them. I don't understand how terrorizing people helps you plead for your case of freedom or the right to own land. I mean, even going back to the 72 Olympics, remember when was it the PLO then that took hostages, the
yeah.
eight
hostages? I get that. I wouldn't. You look at the history of Gaza, it's an open-air prison. We would never accept living in those conditions. So there's some, you know, there's some issues here on both sides. And that's why I'm saying, I think what's happening is this is the chaos stirrer-uppers going around and making a dichotomy here that is unreal. There's something very wrong here.
Has kind of been our feet on the ground in Israel and our eyes on Israel. So she did come on a week or two ago, but even she was with you and very carefully saying, I won't post something until I can verify it, because
right.
a lot of propaganda was her word, a lot of propaganda
yeah.
being used to frighten us, intimidate us, or to push a cause through. So she was very careful as well. So she backed. Curious about this, and I'm not real knowledgeable. I've been to Israel three different times, loved being there. Complicated country with the Arab, the Muslim, the Christian, the, you know, all Jewish, all these quarters, and people who can live together. Okay, so you're right to, I think, Dr. Merritt, be concerned about where this is coming from, what's prompting it. My own opinion, I don't think this would have happened with Donald Trump still in office. I don't appreciate the $6 billion being loosed by our. You know, there's too, and I think you're wise to figure out where they're coming. The Bible tells us not to be a false witness, not to bear false witness. And so I think that's what we do on this show, is just present information and cause the prompt, the provoking of thought. What is that verse? I used to laugh and say, this is my life verse. Is it Hebrew? I can provoke. If nothing else, I can provoke people, right? So, 30 seconds, a minute to say anything you want. And thank you for coming on with me and talking about pretty much anything that we take note of that day.
Well, I just like, you know, in talking and Israel, just keep in mind the other part of this that we need to realize has happened, and the implication is still not known. But, you know, Netanyahu offered up his whole country. The whole country was given over. We had Israelis. So, you know, the Israelis are also captive by their government. And the Israelis there were Israeli people saying, we're stuck here. I mean, this is literally they use their own people as guinea pigs. I have a real hard time supporting a government that does that, regardless of anything else happening now. Regardless. I mean, I think there's something very wrong going on there.
And even after the news came out, I remember reading where they thought 40% of their deaths came from people who were vaccinated. So they knew that, and they still continued with their, I think they were called passports or green cards. So that is, I think, worthy of investigation and discussion. And that's something that's left me very uneasy. We had our same
right.
issues here in America with the threats of that coming even from our White House with fines to companies who didn't force their employees to do it. We luckily never had that really fully implemented, but it was a threat from. So, and again, what you said, whether on which side of the border, I don't care where someone lives, for those individuals out there who are suffering because of their government, the oppression of their government, the Bible tells us the people groan, or when the wicked rule, sin flourishes. And that's what we're seeing. And so we do understand Genesis, I believe it's 12:3, God will bless those who bless Israel. We get that, the Israel people, God's chosen people. But as well, governments need to do, they need to behave in a righteous manner as well. And so we see that in America, we see that concern here, and we see it in Israel as well. The government has to do what is biblical. Time and again in the Old Testament, God would punish them. Right? So it shouldn't surprise us. We're not saying that's what happened here. We're just investigating. And just to be clear, we did not condone gay marriage. I can't condone what God has condemned. I can't go there. All right, Dr. Lee Merritt, thank you for heading down this conversation with me today. You can find her, the Medical Rebel. As we tell you, live boldly, love better, laugh bigger, and never be complacent.